You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is a Cooligans birthday special, and we are discussing UEFA Champions League, why Pep Guardiola is the best manager in the world, reminding everybody in the world, and we also talk about why Jim Curtin is the second best manager in the world. So UCL and CCL going heavy tonight.
That's right. We talk about Drip God Jim Curtin. Plus, we talk to Amin Alhassan about so much PSG. We talk about the Knicks. We save the Knicks. We figure out a way to get Zion to the Knicks. Plus, we talk about why he should never play sports ever again. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, happy birthday to us.
That's right, baby. It's our birthdays, bro.
This is a special birthday show. Okay,
let's go.
I'm doing the show on my birthday suit real soon. Okay,
we're gonna have to blur the majority of your screen.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero's.
All right, and we are your favorite stand-up comedians. The host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived right here on Fubo Sports Network.
Mm-hmm. It also happens to be the gulliest and also the most birthday-ish.
The birthday-iest. Okay? Yeah.
Hey, let's go.
Exciting time. I mean, if people are not aware, yes, Alexis's birthday is May 1st. Mine's is April 30th.
We came out the womb holding hands, which is difficult for babies from two different moms.
Every year, people are like, how is your birthday one day apart? And yeah. I'm like, it happens every year. I don't know what to tell you.
Meant to be, I think, is the answer you're looking for. Let's go.
Wish us a happy birthday, but there is a lot to celebrate today.
It's never good when you have to tell someone to wish us a happy birthday. Jeb with the please clap?
It's because we have no friends, right?
Yeah. Please, tweet at us. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave it in the comments, but happy birthday.
But we have a lot to celebrate today. We have an exciting show. We're going to be joined by Amin Alhassan, formerly of ESPN, currently with the Levitard show. We're huge fans. We're going to be talking massive about some. He's also a big PSG fan, so that, you know, they've been in the news recently.
It seems like things have happened there. And what are the odds that he's going to be on the second half of the show, you know? And PSG fell apart in the second half. We'll talk about it.
Hopefully our second half of the show does not fall apart.
It's up to Amin, you know.
So let's start today with UEFA Champions League. Obviously, the semifinals just happened. Let's specifically talk about PSG against Man City, because they did lose. PSG did lose, and it was a wild second half where Man City just turned things around. The concern here was how poorly Mbappe played, especially in that second half. It leads to all the questions of, like, is he wasting his time? Should he start packing his bags?
Bruh, I mean, I have a feeling he doesn't want to unpack his bags. I think if you look at what happened to Mbappe in that second half, my main question is, was that even really his fault? You know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, they did, you know, it's easy to say, you know who PSG's best player is, and then now you gotta do something to stop him. And that it's easy to say that, but Manchester City actually did do that, right? And this is where I think Pep Guardiola gets a lot of credit, because Mbappe, for the most part, when you have Mbappe and Neymar on the same team, you're gonna have to pick one, all right? Pick your poison.
Do you stop Jordan or do you stop Pippen? You know what I mean? Like, you got Steve Kerr out here shooting threes, you know what I mean?
Do
you
Steve Kerr ain't ever gonna beat us. Nah.
Why is he doing? Do you stop Steph Curry? Do you stop Clay? You know what I mean? Like, who do you pick? I actually think, I'm starting to think Pep Guardiola played rope-a-dope in the first half. That's what I think was happening.
Interesting. Oh, because I acted like a little wounded gazelle.
You know, reeled you in, you know, softened you and really exposed maybe the lack of maturity on PSG, you know? Because if you notice in the second half, he released the fullbacks, which is a weird way to say release.
Is that what Mr. Burns says when somebody's on his property?
He had one of those things. He was like, "Kush." But
fullbacks, attack,
engage. Ring, ging, 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 ging. These gates come up. I think
João Cancelo comes pounding
out. He's hungry as shit. He's got a broken chain around his neck. I think when you look at what happened, I think PSG were like, "Oh, they're not going to send their fullbacks. Yo, we got this," and they relaxed. At halftime, I think Pochettino brought out cigars and was like, "Boys, we did it." You know,
why does it say "it's a girl" on it? It's weird. What are you celebrating? Yeah.
What happened, Poch?
This ain't the time for a gender reveal party.
But I think that's what happened. I think it was Pep Guardiola. And at this point, you got to start to wonder. I know he hasn't won Champions League in 10 years, but is he the best coach in the world? I mean,
it isn't as much of a, do you have to wonder. It is a reminder of why he is the best coach in the world.
That's a good way to put it.
He's had plenty of duels with Pochettino when he was at Tottenham, and it is a thing where he always has everyone's number. And look, even though they were down one goal in that first half, he's like, "You know what? Don't fret, baby girl. It's all good. We're gonna figure this out. I got a plan for this.
You know? And I think releasing those fullbacks kind of shows you, first of all, when you bring in a guy like João Cancelo, when you got someone like Ruben Dias, when you've got these players that are really good defensively, comfortable going forward, you start to wonder, does the guy even need a back line? Like, does his system even need you back
there,
bro? Well, you
know what? I'm going to go on a limb and say yes, he does need a back line.
I think you might be right. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, his system is so intact. You know what I mean? Like, and he's so confident that even being down a goal in the Champions League, he's like, "Everybody relax."
And that is where, like, the credit has to be given, is that Manchester City, they really want to win Champions League, right? And I would say they want it more than PSG does. And as far as even they last year, they were heartbroken by the loss, by the Champions League loss. There is a certain level of, you know, it's hard, it's difficult to play the way Pep wants his teams to play. And also be under the scrutiny and pressure that they're in. They have, you know, they doesn't matter what team they play. It's always like 60% possession. It's not easy to hold on to the ball when Mbappe, Neymar, Verratti, Marquinhos, they're all chasing the ball, and they look so comfortable and poised all the time. And that is, I don't know what Pep said at halftime, but that was where the difference was made. There was just a mentality thing that kept them pushing, and it's why PSG made the mistakes that they made and gave up the goals that they gave. So
everyone's asking, "Yo, where is Mbappe going to go?" Right? He clearly is. I mean, all the reports are he wants to go to Real Madrid. It practically tiled his walls as a bedroom in his childhood bedroom. Real Madrid, Real Madrid, Real Madrid. I'm starting to wonder. Looking out in the world, I'm interested in what your thoughts are. Is Mbappe, or like, who's more important, a player of Mbappe's ilk or a coach like Pep Guardiola? Would you rather have a system or an incredible player?
That's a good question. If I have to pick between Pep and Mbappe, my starting striker, mm-hmm. I would have to go with Pep, right? I mean, it seems like all the decisions, obviously, it is a team. It isn't just one player. And Mbappe's not far off from the quality that Pep Guardiola brings. So
I feel like he's like the next Messi, if you will, where he's enough of a game changer where he can do it on his own. Or at least you have to calculate where he's going to be on the pitch at all times in order to make like a proper, you know, defense against a team that Mbappe's on, whether it's Real Madrid or PSG. But yo, Pep, the most expensive player Pep has is De Bruyne at 68 million. And look at what he's able to do.
Oh, yeah.
I do kind of think he has to win Champions League.
What he's able
to
do with next to nothing.
With 68 million in crumbs. I mean, how many couches did he have to shake
just
up to find this?
Of a team.
But I do think, yo, he hasn't won Champions League in 10 years. Like, yo, you're going to have to win this. You can't just beat PSG and think like, yo, he's genius. You got to win Champions League again if you're going to be the greatest coach of all time.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on him. So like the next couple of weeks are going to be very decisive. There's more pressure on Pep Guardiola than there is on Mauricio Pochettino. So that's a reality.
Yo, Christian, let's talk about CONCACAF Champions League, okay?
The only Champions League I recognize.
You know, I think whoever is in charge of it fell asleep on the mayhem button, okay? Because it was
they have those little the little toys that drink the water, but yeah, it just keeps hitting just the mayhem button.
Hitting mayhem, dog. But one of the things that's coming out of it this year is, yo, it looks like an MLS club is actually going to beat a Liga MX club whole thing.
All, in the round of 16, every MLS club advanced. So that was a shock. And then we also have two MLS clubs that are playing each other in Atlanta and Philadelphia. So we're not really used to having CCL matchups with only MLS teams.
Actually, I think you're wrong. I know Philly was there. I don't think Atlanta showed up for this one. Philly destroyed Atlanta in their own home. Mm-hmm. And that's got to make you think, and we're not the only ones saying this, right? Yo, is Jim Curtin like the next American to go coach in Europe?
Oh, that's right. Like the seeing the success of the Philadelphia Union, especially, you know, Jim Curtin is just like Pep Guardiola in that he doesn't have a lot of money to spend and a lot to work with.
Just
look
like him.
Look at the results, right?
A couple 60 million players here and there. If you look at, first of all, Jim Curtin stepping off the plane when he gets to Europe, you know he's a fit king, okay?
Very much
so. You see the picture of him getting off the bus and on the pitch with the Hyper Royal Blues, yo?
Dude, he is embarrassing every other coach out there. He is, you know, when it comes to, you know, best dressed in MLS, you know, our friends at the call-up do their rankings and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they're talking about, like, best dressed for like a business casual dinner. Bro, we'll talk about Fit King.
That's
who's
right.
The drip god.
All right.
There's only one.
Who am I inviting to the VIP section at the 40-40? All right.
Uh-huh. Yo, who's coming through stunting and makes me want to pull up the sneakers app? And that's
exactly.
Jim Curtin.
You know,
yo.
There's only one coach in MLS that I look at and I tell myself, I need to do better, okay?
Uh-huh. Yo, he's undefeated in CCL and undefeated in the sneakers app, bro. He got him, all right? He got him. Yo, the homie coming through dripping.
Yes. So, you know, we can praise him for, you know, the kicks. But look, he is doing the work as far as just building quality teams. And that's why
also, the two best players on his team were sold last year.
Yeah.
And this is in Europe. You can't just go and like, yo, we'll go spend a couple hundred million on new players. That don't happen here. Nah. And now there seems to be like three or four players.
Sugarman don't work like that. No. Millions? Like, what? Excuse me?
Yeah, no, Sugarman's like, we out of sugar right now.
Okay. Look, I see what I got in my couch. All right.
Okay. I can't really go the way you want. Don't be putting so many zeros on that check. But I think what you see is now there's like three or four players that people are talking about, like, yo, maybe these guys are going to get sold, you know? Oh, maybe these players are the new. And it all points back to Jim Curtin. Jim Curtin is doing something.
Well, look, we know the news with Jesse Marsh. Jesse Marsh is going from RB Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg, to Rasenspor Leipzig.
Ball Leipzig, RB Leipzig. He got a promotion, we'll say. But that's huge. That's a top club in Germany.
Yes.
Now,
Champions League club, huge.
And by the way, he turned down Tottenham, so maybe he's a gooner. He turned down Tottenham to go take this job, which is an American turning down a Premier League job in and of itself should be a headline.
He's like, Tottenham, I really don't want, you know, to taint my resume with such a club. You know what I mean?
More like Tottenham, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just like that. Yeah, you got him. Do it again.
I bet
bro.
You that's what he said, bro. I bet you that was the email.
How is it? It's like the Snoop video. This motherfucker don't miss.
Bro, I'm automatic.
No, but look at that. It's wild. You know, now the conversations about Jim Curtin, you know, was it 2-3 years ago, even Philadelphia Union fans were like, Curtin out. We need somebody else. He's turned things around. And now it's what European club should he be managing right now? And even that thought of like, you know, if Jesse Marsh turned down Tottenham, would Jim Curtin turn down Tottenham? Can Jim Curtin go from the Philadelphia Union to Tottenham Hotspur?
Ken is not even the question. Should is the question, right?
Okay.
And And that's where that's where we're at now. When you have these incredible coaches being developed in the U.S. And we talked a little bit about, Pep Guardiola in the past. It seems to me like we're now at the point where a high level coach, a high level manager is as important as your best player. And when you've got someone that can do what Jim Curtin has done with an MLS roster, and not, he doesn't even have that many designated players, which if you don't know, that's when you can spend as much money like David Beckham, it doesn't count against your cap, go out and spend as much money as you want a player. He's only got one designated player on the team right now.
Yeah.
This is absolutely incredible. And honestly, Tottenham is a step up because it is Premier League. Let's be honest. Right. But should he sit back and wait? And honestly, does he have to win CCL to be considered for that job?
It's interesting because now even Union fans are, it is a, you know, we're excited for his success, but we don't want him to leave, right? Because
don't do too well. You know
what I mean? That's always how it is in soccer, because everybody wants the next opportunity, the next job, from a player to a manager. Honestly, when I saw Jesse Marsh got the job to RB Leipzig, I'm like, oh, what about Brendan Aaronson? You brought him there. What are you going to leave him out there?
Hey, Tyler Adams. There's an American everywhere. He's got Tyler Adams now.
Exactly. CCL has been absolutely mad. I mean, there's so much to talk about, especially Portland Timbers against Club America. Just absolute mad ending of that match. Two penalties in that game. But literally, the last penalty is a handball that it really looked like Felipe Mora pushed the Club America player into a forced handball, given as a penalty. I love the moment. Merritt Paulson pointing at the
owner
spot
of your team.
The owner.
He's behind the goal pointing. He's the ref now. I mean, if you don't watch CONCACAF Champions League, you're missing out. The owner of the club is on the sideline by himself. No security. Pointing at the goal, at the penalty spot. And, dude, that penalty came in the 7th minute of added time. What?
Absolute bedlam. It's been this way. Columbus against Monterrey, America against Portland, just both mad games. The Columbus game ended 2-2. The refereing has been optional. None of it makes sense.
Yo, these dudes are all on Dramamine or something. I'm telling you, they're barely staying awake. They're not paying attention. They're not following any rules. But I actually think that's what makes CONCACAF Champions League better than UEFA Champions League. Which is, yeah, you got the big names over there, but we got absolute bedlam. Right?
It's incredible. So if you're not watching CCL, you are missing out. And it's right here on Fubo TV. Make sure you tune in.
And don't forget, after this, we got Amin El Hassan going to be right on this show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and you guys being Gully Squad. And you know what? Maybe I keep saying you. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not a member of Gully Squad and you're wondering why. Well, I've given you amazing, reasons why. I've told you the Slack channel is absolutely amazing. Here's another reason why I think Gully Squad is absolutely incredible and why you should join is because whenever we have guests, and we've had everything from World Cup winners to MLS, Premier League, NWSL, legends of the game, we've had incredible, incredible players on our show, incredible guests from comedians like Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show, incredible guests. The only people who get to ask them questions besides Christian and I are Gully Squad. Gully Squad finds out early who our guests are, and they get the chance to put those questions in the Slack. Those are the only other questions we ever ask. If you want to be one of those folks, if you want to join the amazing Slack channel, if you want to become a part of this community, if you want to start, cooperating with some of the Gulliest kit, the kit that they're making for themselves, if you want to drop some knowledge in the coffee or the beer and wine liquor section or the food porn section, all that, you got to join Gully Squad. Most importantly, if you also want to ask questions of our guests, you either got to become a cooligan, which is impossible, right? Unless you're funnier than Christian, then try out, let me know. Or you got to join Gully Squad and join that Slack community. So if you want to do that, just go to shoutstous.com. Again, that's shoutstous.com. Or you can simply go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. In fact, if you go to soccercooligans.com, it's our website. We worked really hard on it. We think it's really nice. And all over the place, you'll find buttons to join Gully Squad. So do it today. Yo, Christian, I am wildly excited, okay?
Equally.
It's rare that we get someone on that we could talk soccer with, but also could explain why the Knicks are the greatest basketball team of all time right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We just really need people to reaffirm that. That's all.
You know what I mean? Why is Julius Randle? It should have been Julius Randle playing by himself at the All-Star game. I honestly believe that, and I think this dude right here could tell us why. And also, you know what's so exciting? it's not just you, Christian, that gets to work with a slightly overweight but still very gorgeous Cuban dude from Jersey. You know what I mean?
Really? Somebody else is that lucky?
I mean, right now, I can't even say too loud. I hope my wife don't hear it. You know what I mean? Because her type, you know what I mean? And this dude I heard got a lot of money recently, and it ain't me. But I am wildly excited for our next guest. You may know him from the universe that is the Dan Levitard, the Dan Levitard universe. You may know him from Can I Get an Amin? You may know him from maybe his time spent in the NBA. Wow, we have official people on the show, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, put your hands together for Amin El Hassan, everybody.
What's good, brother? How's it going?
I see you over there. You got your own audience. That's amazing.
Yeah. Amin is just pointing at his cats. Like, yeah, what's good?
$50 million, boys, to get you a nice little in-studio audience. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did each of you get $50 million? How did this work?
I'm operating under those conditions, those circumstances. Yeah, okay.
I'm reading the fine print. I'm just looking.
You just refreshing your bank account, just waiting.
Not even, man. We out here charging everything. Like, I got it.
Put it on my tab. We don't know who you are, sir.
You take Dogecoin?
Yeah. Let's go. Better. They should have gave you $50 million in Dogecoin because it already 100 million. let's talk a little bit about, maybe you don't get as much opportunity to talk about this when you're on with Dan Levitard, but big soccer fan. You're a PSG fan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah man. So this is the disclaimer I give everybody. I'm from another country, so that automatically means I trump any American soccer knowledge. I don't care if you out here giving me the history of everything. Like, yo, are you from here? All right, then. Just sit back, sit down. Let the pros take over.
So, fun thing to say on a show with two Americans.
Ah, you know what, man? It's all right. I'll take the lead today. I'll be the lead again. But I'm from Sudan originally. I moved to the United States when I was a baby, and then I moved back to Sudan when I was eight. So between 8 and 14, I lived in Sudan, and so obviously soccer is king over there, and so I was deep in it, I was heavy in it, and then I came back to the United States, and when I'm finishing up high school, like, I would say I was an average player in Sudan. I came back to America, and it was like the next coming. So I was just out here messing around, and at that point, I'd already kind of, my heart had started to drift towards basketball, loving basketball more, but it was just so easy that, like, I was like, oh, I'll just do this. So I played high school, and, you know, won a couple of city championships, no big whoop, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean?
Hitting us with the Al Bundy four touchdowns in one game, you know, it's all good.
Amin telling us he balling at the Rucker without saying he balling at the Rucker.
But when I graduated high school, my parents actually moved to Paris. And so I never lived there, but I would go visit. Right. And that's when kind of like, oh, PSG, all right, that's the team. I like the colors. Like, all right, I kind of like follow it a little bit. And then in 98, they got my favorite player, JJ Okocha. So once that happened, I was all in. And actually, if you give me one second, I think I have the jersey right here.
Oh, go for it.
I could have just brought out my JJ Okocha jersey, you know?
We all have JJ Okocha jerseys.
Everybody's supposed to have a JJ Okocha jersey, or else you ain't really a soccer fan.
So right here, right there it is. The Opel with the Okocha on the back. And the number is not here because the day I went to go get the jersey from the original, the store, they were all sold out of the Okocha jerseys. They had the Okocha nameplates. They didn't have any number 10s, though. So I have a very limited edition Nike. This is like the first dry fit jersey ever. I think that was the first time they dropped it.
That's dope. I play against JJ Okocha in FIFA Ultimate Team. Always kicking my ass when people have his icon. Yo, chill.
You're like, ain't this man in his 50s? Why is he doing this to me?
This is nice, though, man.
Go ahead. You were going to say.
I was going to say, I mean, PSG, we just saw them play in the first leg of the semifinal against Manchester City in Champions League. The game, as we're recording this, the game just happened. What are your thoughts? They lost 2-1.
Yeah, so it's funny. My friend Gino, who hooked us all up together, was texting me like, hey, they're going to be ready for you in like 10 minutes. I'm like, well, this game's still got some time left over here. And that was... I gotta go back and apologize to her because I'm pretty sure the tone wasn't. It was stress tone of like, I think the red card had just been flashed, and I was just kind of like stressed about it because the first half was beautiful, man. Ball control and out here like one touch passes, and Man City just looked lost, and Pep Guardiola's over there losing his mind. I'm like, oh, we got these boys.
You were putting the pressure on them too. Oh, it was wild.
And a beautiful goal. How about that from my man Marquinhos? Yeah. But then the second half, it's just I don't know what the hell happened to them at halftime, but it came out and it was just a different game. And both of those goals felt like incredibly sloppy.
That first one especially, man.
You know, it's just like, what are we doing here? We're watching. Well, even the second one, because it happened because my man jumped sideways. Like, you're a wall. Yeah. That's why everyone was so pissed, because like, you can't jump like this.
Yeah. So, well, both people, they get mad at Ronaldo for that exact thing, because he gets like afraid of the ball. I'm like, yo, that's your one job.
That's your job.
I'm an Arsenal fan, and I will go on record as saying, look, it is what it is, right? My family moved to Paris, but I'm kidding. But I will go on record as saying, every time someone does that in the wall, I'm like, yo, what are you doing? But facts, if I was in the wall, I'd be like, no, you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, I low key understand it at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's the point, right? The point is, me and you and Christian, we're here.
Yeah.
We're not there. If I was there, I get paid with it, then yeah, I'd have to deal with it, but I ain't got paid so I ain't got to deal with it.
Yeah, we're not making Dan Levitar money. So
there was one time
I
was playing pickup in Park Slope, and for some reason I was like, you know what, let me bring my GoPro, hang it up on the cage. I'm like, yo, let me just, it might be fun to see how I play, try to make some improvement, you know, watch it back for the analysis. Right. Yeah. Yo, I got rocked in the head with the ball. So I have this footage of me just trying to defend. Somebody just tried to make a pass. And yo, it felt like the when I watched it back on video, I'm like, it didn't look as bad. I'm just like, you know what I mean? I got rocked on the side of the ear. I'm like, there's just so many risks, especially being on a wall. I mean, being on a firing line, you have to have courage. You got to get the craziest dudes to be on that wall. You can't have the pretty players on there.
No, absolutely not.
Just for marketing reasons.
Another reason why I can't be bold and talk about, you should do this, you should do that. The last two times I played soccer was really the last two times I did anything sports related. I'm old, so I'm kind of retired, but I came out of retirement a couple of years ago. I played in Steve Nash's charity soccer game.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And within, I want to say, a strong 15 minutes, I had sprained my ankle. I had a massive back spasm. And then I also tore a muscle in my chest called the serratus muscle or something. It's under the pec. And so anytime I sneezed or coughed or did anything, it was immense pain. So I was
tore your titty? What?
I tore under my titty. The side boob. I tore the
side
boob.
I'm going to go on record as saying, you don't play soccer the right way if you're tearing something near the titty. You know?
Like, my body was just saying, what are we doing? Because I literally just rolled off the couch. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm good, right? So I'm retired. I'm not playing anymore. Not pick up ball, nothing. I'm just... we'll be chilling, because all I could think of was like 24 hours ago, I was happy. Yeah. I was sitting on the couch watching TV, like I was
sneezing however I wanted.
Yeah, and now it's like everything is in pain. Like, why did I do this? Why did I have these flights of fancy, like the delusions of a far gone time? So then I said, I'm done. My girl Jenny Miller, who runs the Steve Nash Foundation, the next time around says, you gotta come, you gotta play. It's in LA this year. You don't even have to come to New York. So I'm like, you know what? I will, but this time I'm going to train, right? So I'm out here stretching every day, and I'm getting a little cardio or whatever. I get to game day. They have an on-site trainer. So I'm like, this is what I'm going to do in between, because it's like 7-on-7. It's short field and like a bunch of games, right? So I said, in between games, I'm going to go see the trainer, no matter how I feel, stretch my hammies out, make sure I'm good. So I get through like 5 games. And I feel great. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm not overextending. I'm playing well. I'm scoring goals. I'm not playing like I used to, but I feel not hurt. So that's like a win for me. It's the quarterfinal of this tournament. No, semifinal. It's a semifinal of the tournament. Now, we're down to like 8 guys, because one of the older guys He was done, right? So we're down to set eight guys. I said, I'll start because I know I'm done. Like, I could feel my body saying, okay, we had a good day. Quit while you're ahead. So I said, I'll start, and then I'll sub out. Maybe like 3 minutes in. The ball goes this way. I'm jogging lightly. The ball goes back this way. I turn around to jog lightly backward, and my body's, whoa, no one said anything about changing direction. Ball land on my thumb, tear my ulnar collateral ligament. I don't know if you guys can see that right there.
I've never even heard of that injury.
It's the same injury that Drew Brees had at like the damn near same time. Drew Brees came back 3 weeks later and played American NFL football, and it took me like 4 months to be able to like to write.
To sign a check. Or
you're signing checks with like a pen between both your hands. Like,
No. I was just doing X, you know, like the illiterates to do. Just
some kid's like, can I have your autograph? And you're like, I'm going to say no. And I feel bad.
I use my feet. If you'll take it.
Yeah. Help me take my sock off so I can hold this Sharpie with my big toe. You being a PSG fan, one, glad you're not on PSG. But what do you think about the second leg? And what the hell's happening with Ligue 1?
So, glass half full, it started a lot worse. Like, where we are now is like a huge turnaround from where we were earlier in the season. And so the fact that we're, you know, within striking distance of the top spot in the French league is incredible. The fact that we're in the semifinals of the Champions League is incredible. And by the way, I feel like everybody should be kissing our ass. Because when every one of these other clubs was running to be Super League this, Super League that, we put our foot down and said, no, this isn't right. And we shamed all those British clubs, and now all these Premier League clubs are like, oh, no, our fans are. No, they forgot about their fans. Don't let it get twisted. They forgot about their fans. They thought their fans wouldn't care. And then once they figured out everybody did care, then they try to come back with their tail between the legs. So if anything, PSG is having a great April. How about that?
I will say this. When PSG doesn't think it's a good idea, it's probably not a good idea. Their bar is set a little lower than everyone else. But also, let's shine the credit where it may. Don't they also own beIN Sport, which has the Champions League contract? Isn't the next World Cup in Qatar, which is owned by the Qataris, and the players wouldn't be allowed to play in the World Cup? So, I mean...
Look, what are you doing? What is all this extra, like, conspiracy theorist QAnon stuff, man? They care about us fans. That's all that matters.
Yeah, Alexis has the red strings on a board. He's doing all this.
He's like Charlie in Always Sunny.
Carol. What are your thoughts as far as when you look at PSG? Well, first of all, let me ask you this: who is the PSG of the NBA?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. Who would?
Because I have a feeling like it changes every year. It was kind of maybe the Lakers for a little bit, where people kind of want to go. They got the big names,
but then the Lakers. Not too successful, right? Like, you got to be good, but not great, but also like a destination. So not the Knicks, like somewhere that's kind of more destination driven. Not yet, exactly.
Not yet.
I bet you really love that whole Zion thing, huh?
What, the fact that he wants to come to the Knicks?
When he loves New York, he loves MSG.
The big smile.
Buddy, I was saying... I don't know what you print out, but put that on a rafter. Put that in the rafters. That's good enough for me. We'll have a parade. Zion flirting with New York.
Right next to the old championship banner, and then there's that time of Zion signal.
Under that clip, it's a bunch of people using the clip from Uncut Gems of Kevin Garnett. Like, why would you show it to me if I can't have it? Like, that's what it felt like. Why are you teasing me like this, Zion?
All right, so I want to answer the question. The PSG of the problem is.
Is it the Bucks?
No, because it's not a glamour destination. Like,
yeah.
Paris is a glamour destination, man. Like, people.
So then that only leaves New York or LA.
Yeah, or Miami,
Miami.
But the problem is.
Miami?
Oh, maybe it's the Clippers. Maybe they're the Clippers. Like,
okay.
Modern Clippers, not like historic Clippers. Like, successful. Like, they're not. They're not the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns. Like, they're used to success, but maybe not like this crazy success of like a Lakers franchise or the Miami Heat or somewhere like that.
Okay.
All right.
Somewhere between Clippers and Lakers. If there was a third LA team, that's what PSU would be.
You know what? We need a third one. Let's get one. Play in the same
Kroenke,
building.
Move a team to LA.
We have a couple questions from our fans, our supporters group. They're called the Gully Squad. We keep a gully out in New York. You know how we do. But Nick Lajerman, he had asked, who is crazier, Stugatz or Papi?
Crazy comes in a lot of different flavors, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, Papi, for both of them, there is an element of the camera's on, so I'm playing it up for the camera. But then both of them, when the cameras go off, they're still a little crazy anyway. I'm going to give the edge to Stugatz now because Papi he's slowing down. He's become a lot calmer, you know, as he's kind of become into that ripe old age of retirement. His come few and far between as far as his real fits of rage. Stugatz is crazy because in addition to the craziness, you got to add the lying to it.
Yeah. That part the sheer irresponsibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that part isn't just for the cameras. That part, I can tell you, that happens on camera, off camera, mic on, mic off. Stugatz is a liar. He's lied to me. That's how you know you're in. Like, if you've been lied to by Stugatz about something that's potentially life-changing. Stugatz told me he was going to do a radio show with me. And said we're going to do it. And it's going to be on Sundays. We'll call it this. And don't worry, I'll negotiate your rate for you so you don't have to get the regular rate. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And then, like, I didn't hear anything. I'm just figuring, like, they're still negotiating. And then one day I look up and Stugatz and Mike Golick Jr. have a show called Weekend Observations. And I'm just like... I guess.
When do I come in? Yeah.
Here's an observation. Dan, just got screwed over.
It reminds me of those, like, when we were kids and somebody would be like, oh, yeah, you know, I got Super Mario Brothers 3. And it's like, when you go to the house, I'm like, where is it now? You know, like, they just lie about things that nobody cares about. I'm like, why are you going to lie about
this? Yeah, I know. No, you know what? My cousin borrowed it.
That's like, I got into a fight because a kid told me his dog jumped over his house. And I was like, I'm following you home and you're going to show me. And then the kid fought me in front of his house because he knows he ain't got no dog to jump over that house.
No, he knows he ain't got no dog.
He's got a cat. Level. He got a cat on a string. He's hoisting. I'm like, don't nobody believe you.
I remember my cousin Proofy, who's the biggest Knick fan I know. He said that he had a kid he went to school with who swore that Karl Malone dunked from the 3-point line.
He said,
I said, where? What game? When was this? Like, do you have like a video of this? Like, no, but the guy just swore it happened.
Remember that? Remember his shoe had the little flick up plastic that helped you jump more?
Yeah.
Little piece of LA plastic gear, in your heel.
Wasn't LA gear?
Oof. I think it was the storm in the Capitol One, if I remember.
Karl Malone might have been with the wearing them.
I bet you he was there.
How well did he look? For some reason, I feel like I knew Karl Malone and his personality, maybe through ads and stuff like that. Like, I thought I knew who he was, but then when I saw The Last Dance, I'm like, yo, this is a different dude. Why is he so mad? He seems mad.
Yeah, they, mad and he country. He's those two things. He's like super country, super
terrible
mad.
Combo.
There's a lot going on there.
A lot going on with Karl Malone, and also some suspicious things in his past.
Very much so. Yeah, some of his children and their moms may be going to the same school at the same time.
Yeah,
it's hard to Now the age difference isn't. You Google it. Google it. Everything allegedly, by the way,
in a K-12 situation. Yes,
yeah. Let's just say him and R. Kelly have a lot in common. speaking of basketball, again, I'm a massive Knicks fan. One of my biggest fears as a Knicks fan was this trade window. Okay, because. Wow. I was like, please don't do it. Please don't do it, Knicks. Don't let Dolan anywhere near the phone.
don't be Knicks. Look it up.
Please don't be Knicks, right? Not that we could have won with Mozgov and Danilo Gallinari, but still we shouldn't have gotten rid of everything. But anyway, what is the next move? You're the GM. And by the way, you have a career in the NBA. I believe, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, you were the assistant director of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns. So you're the smartest person for us to talk about when it comes to this, which goes to show how little people we know in the NBA. What should the Knicks do? Because I'm gathering the feeling that RJ Barrett is becoming the sharpshooter that can be the number two to a Julius Randle. So what exactly do we need at this point?
Yeah, so my buddy Elite, the producer, who's a producer for Dreamville, he alerted me to the existence of a Twitter account called at RJ Barrett Stats. Okay, all it is just an account that's devoted to RJ Barrett and how well he's shooting and video and all that. But the place where the Knicks are right now is a place that is a danger zone a little bit, because you've been bad for so long and now you're actually decent, trending towards good. There is an impulse to throw a lot of money at it in an effort to be great. And a lot of times that can set you back. Look at Philadelphia. They were bad for so long. And then that first year they made the playoffs with Embiid and Simmons and Bellinelli and Ilyasova and all those guys. And it was like, all right, this is a nice formula. And then they ended up like just swinging for the fences wildly. And it kind of put them in this disappointment zone, if you will. The Knicks are... what they need to do right now is, A, try and keep this group together, right? You got Julius Randle, whose contract, I believe, expires this summer. You got RJ Barrett still under contract. Quickly, Mitchell Robinson, whenever he comes back.
You might Quickly, the steal of the draft.
Yeah, so you got a nice young core. See where it goes, right? And then add things that are strategic that fit within the timeline of who you are and also the needs. Right now, if Kawhi Leonard opts out and says, I want to be a Knick, obviously you don't say no to that, right? You don't say no. This guy's an elite player. But the problems never come there. The problems come where you go chasing for someone who's okay but not elite, and those are the contracts you want to stay away from. Those,
why would you say that about Bradley Beal? You know, I mean,
no, Bradley Beal fits again, and he's under contract. That's a good thing, right? The bad thing is where you go out and give a new contract. Like, so this won't happen, but like, here's a bunch of money to Andre Drummond. Why? Because he was the best available free agent after all everything else shook out. You don't want to do that. You want to build slowly. And then the other thing they have at their disposal is a zillion picks, right?
Which is trade bait.
Exactly. So we're at a time where four teams control most of the trade market, which is the Knicks, the Pelicans, the Thunder, and the Rockets, right? Those four teams have a zillion future first-round picks, and everyone else is kind of struggling, basically, because if you traded your pick this year, you can't trade your pick next year. So because of that, there's an appetite for these picks on the market. If you're the Knicks, you might be able to poach some good players with decent contracts that fit into your vision using those picks. So I think a slow and steady measured response is what the Knicks need to the season, which of course they have a long history of being slow, steady, and measured, right?
Yeah. It's the least Knicks thing to do.
Okay. So the next question has to be, how far do we plan out? How do we court Zion? What are we doing right now?
We made the mistake with LeBron though.
So the Zion thing, here's the interesting thing about Zion. In the history of the NBA, since we've been doing these rookie deals and having an extension at the end of the deal, there has never been a player who's turned down the rookie extension, right? That's never happened. Another reason why a player who's offered that, beyond like, hey, this is a lot of money, I'm not going to turn this down. Another reason is they added this new thing, where you can get a supermax at the end of your rookie extension. Only if you've been with your team that whole time, the team that drafted you. The only loophole there is if you get traded in the first 4 years of your deal. So if you're the Knicks and you want Zion, it's one of two times, two windows. Window number one is you just wait until he signs his rookie extension, and at the end of that 3 years or 4 years, whatever he signs, then you go get him then. Or you can do what the Mavericks did with Porzingis, and you go get him right now. You get him before his rookie deal is up. And as long as New Orleans is not doing well, I believe that opportunity is open, in the same way that when Porzingis is a rookie or second-year player, we're like, no chance, this guy's a Knick for life. But a lot can happen in 4 years, especially if the team isn't winning. So there are two windows of time, I think. One is in the next 2 years, and two is 5, 6, 7 years from now.
Okay. Well,
I hope that, you know, as much as Porzingis wanted out, Zion wants out, and please come to New York. And I also want to give a shout out to my buddy who has a plan to book Dolan's blues group across entire country so that he can't mess up these trades.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So he can't mess up these trades. Dude, this has been absolutely incredible.
Hassan, thank you so much for joining us, man. Absolutely honored. Look, we are both huge fans.
We fixed PSG. We fixed the Knicks. We fixed the Super League. I mean, it's incredible.
We didn't even get it. I wanted to, we got to get you back on because, you were the announcer during Andrew Schultz versus Jay Williams 1v1. Right. That was just a legendary moment. In
the
all
extravaganza.
And Jay Williams plays soccer. He plays in the league that I play in. Okay.
Is he good?
What happened? He's all right. He plays like a basketball player.
His girl's great though, right? Wasn't it his girl or his sister? Somebody plays on the team amazing.
A lot of overlap. But thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate it. Is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Absolutely. So,
Metal. Where are you buying drinks with this new contract of yours? Tell us that.
Where have I been buying drinks? No. Metalark Media, Dan Le Batard Show podcast. Download that. I'm on every once in a while. There's going to be more content that's coming out through the Le Batard and Friends feed. So we definitely have that. Meanwhile, I also have my podcast that I do with my buddy Zach Harper called Cinephobe. This is the podcast where we review bad movies or movies poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and we try to figure out whether they're accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, wherever you get podcasts. And then if you're a SiriusXM subscriber, I'm on SiriusXM NBA Radio 10 to 1 on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays. So check all those things out.
Amazing work. Yes, please follow Amin, Darth Amin on Twitter. Again, just funny and informative, everything, bro. He does it all.
Also,
all
now we have a place to stay in Paris when we go out to celebrate PSG because now we're vaccinated. We're allowed to go.
They don't live there anymore. Sadly.
So now we're going to move on to the Golasso GIF. It's becoming tradition on our show. If you had to celebrate a goal, we're going to make a GIF out of it. Alexis, you want to give him a scenario?
Yeah, this is for some strange reason. It's the Champions League final, and PSG has too many injured players, so they bring you on to sit on the bench. The physios have said, everything is cured. Your titty is cured. Your hand is cured. You can play. You walk in the 95th minute and you put head to ball on a corner from Neymar and you score the Champions League winning goal. How do you celebrate?
First of all, I wouldn't do it with a header. I would catch with the trap with the chest, and then I bicycle kick it because I'm a guy with flair and pizzazz if the physio telling me I'm okay, right? Second of all, believe it or not, I've had this fantasy for years. And it's changed. It's changed over time. You watch, you see other people do stuff. You're like, I got to incorporate some of that. So the latest one that I've had was that I would run to the sideline, and one of my teammates who's on the sideline would throw me a phone, and then I would pan him. I'll just do it. I'm like, yeah. No, I just scored. No, it just happened right now. Go turn on your TV right now. You're not buying TV. Hold on. I'll FaceTime you. Right, you see? You see the big screen board behind me?
Yeah.
You see the payment right now? That's me. I did it. And then I throw the phone at my buddy.
I love it. Just hit him with I did that.
Yeah, I did that. Look at me. I did this to you. That
tells me on the other end of that phone call is a dude from New York being like, no, you didn't. Shut up. Yo, dead ass, you scored? You're like, yo, for real.
The funniest thing is, look at me, I did this to you, was a prior fantasy. That was one where, I beat everybody, and then, because I've done this before in pickup, where, the keeper comes out, and then I act like I'm shooting, and I pull it back, and then come back, and I score. And my thing was, as he's lies, dejected face down, because it's, again, it's the 95th minute. I would pick his head up and say, look at me, I did this to you.
Who do you think you are? I am.
this could be like a mean soccer erotica. It is so clear and defined.
Oh yeah. I don't know how why he went there, but I'm glad he did.
I went to I grabbed the corner flag and I used it as a microphone, and the other guys are behind me dancing like the Temptations. Like I'll tell you, I've got like 100 of these.
This is incredible. Yeah, dude. I mean, we have to get you back on here, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for joining us. And a reminder, everybody, follow us at Fubo Sports and to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel. Follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels as well. So let us wrap the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. Amin, please join us in this as well. So for Amin El Hassan, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! That's right. I did it. I did it right now. I just did the show. Yeah, it's
on the show right now.